Nepotism, the practice of showing favor to family members, is a time-honored tradition in many small businesses, and in quite a few larger ones, too, from the small-town hardware store to the car dealership to some of America's largest media empires. The son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter of the founder holds the reins. Less precisely, nepotism has come to mean gaining opportunity because of one's family connections. Adam Bellow is an editor of general interest in nonfiction at Doubleday, and being the son of Nobel Prize-winning novelist Saul Bellow, he's something of an authority on gaining opportunity because of one's family connections. Adam Bellow is the author of In Praise of Nepotism, A Natural History, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Adam, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go to the first time that nepotism, as a word, comes up. 14th, 15th century word, an Italian word, nepotisma. What did it mean?
Well, it's a word and a concept that derives from the medieval Catholic Church. Of course, there had always been family interest and family ties in every walk of life, going back to the very earliest hunter-gatherer societies. But in the context of the Catholic Church, which was a large-scale bureaucracy, it was for the first time noticed that it became a problem that popes, when they came into office, had a habit of appointing their nephews, so-called, generally illegitimate sons who were described as nephews, into high positions in the church, generally cardinals or military authorities. And this is the origin of the word and the concept of nepotism.
There's old nepotism, as you define it, and new nepotism. And there's a big difference. Old nepotism, parents get jobs for the kids, right?
Yes. As I describe it, I mean, after all, let me begin by saying what the book is, because there's there's a certain amount of confusion about this. Some people seem to think that I wrote this book in order to defend George W. Bush in particular, or the class system and social inequality in general. And this is perhaps a natural misunderstanding, given the way the term is used today. What the book actually is a history of family ties and family enterprise through time. Half of the book is devoted to the history of nepotism in non-Western societies and in European history up until the French Revolution. The second half of the book deals with the United States. And in that context, the story is really that of how we tried for several centuries to get rid of nepotism. Now, what we were fighting, of course, was was what I call the bad kind of nepotism, or the old nepotism, which I think has justifiably fallen into disrepute, although in the 19th century it was simply the way things were done. Today we have, particularly since World War II, we have the rise of a new kind of nepotism, and the way I explain it is this. The new nepotism, unlike the old, does require the ultimate test of merit. You can get a name, and family connections do get you in the door. But if you can't make the grade, you're tossed out pretty quickly.
Adam Bellow, your last name, Bellow, son of Saul Bellow. You write yourself that your name got you advantages unavailable at the entry level to others in publishing. You also talk about the fact that your name is value added to this particular book that you're talking about right now. What are the advantages that you think your name gave you, and then was it harder for you to prove your talent?
Well, you're answering my question for me in a way. let me begin by saying that my father was terrible at nepotism. He was never able to help me directly. He did try when I got out of college to help me get into journalism, but turned out he didn't have nearly as much clout as he thought. And nobody would really give me the time of day. So it was up to me to make my own way in the world. That didn't mean that I was helpless. I did have a family name and family connections. And when it was time for me to get serious about a career and I decided to go into publishing, I called up an old friend of my father's and asked his advice, and he referred me to a friend of his. And we had a couple of interviews, and he decided to take a chance on me. Now, there was no question. I mean, I was hired as an editor, not as an editorial assistant. So it's quite clear to me that I escaped some of the drudgery required of people who come in at the entry level in publishing and have to rise through a series of clerical jobs. I was given a chance to be an editor right away, and that's a terrific advantage. But of course, it didn't help me acquire books. It didn't help me edit them properly and prepare them for publication. It didn't guarantee the success of my list of books. And it didn't protect me from being fired, ultimately, when after I'd been in a management position for a few years and my superiors decided that it was time for a change. And so this is what I think illustrates some of the ambiguities involved in the new nepotism.
Do you think the United States is undergoing kind of a new process of stratification? I mean, to correct sort of those extremes of both nepotism and the extremes of meritocracy. You say merit tends to be mostly present in the middle class, whom you say sort of suffer from amnesia. And on the other hand, you have nepotism in corporate boardrooms as well as in the trade unions.
Nepotism is natural and unavoidable. I don't disagree with those who argue that there is a process of stratification going on in this society, and nepotism has something to do with it. It's clearly evident in every sector of American activity, not just in so-called what we might call soft areas where merit is not determinate, but in areas where merit has always been considered to be determinative. You know, but anecdotally we've always seen this. The children of doctors and lawyers very often choose on their own to become doctors and lawyers themselves, and this tends in the aggregate to create a kind of class advantage. There's no question that in every area of society, advantages, social capital accumulates in families and is passed on to the next generation. And it is, in the abstract, definitely unfair. I make no brief for nepotism from the point of view of abstract fairness. I freely acknowledge that it's unfair and that people are, and I understand that why people are upset about it. My point is this: they're upset about it in the abstract, but when you ask them to judge individual cases, they're quite capable of distinguishing between good examples and bad. Everybody knows, for example, that there's a Ford running the Ford Motor Company. When William Clay Ford was appointed to be the CEO of Ford Motor, he was the first Ford in a generation to have that position. The first thing he said when he became CEO of Ford Motor was, "I want Ford cars to be the leader in environmental cleanliness and safety." I don't think Lee Iacocca had that feeling about Chrysler. He was a bottom line kind of guy, but Bill Ford's name is on every vehicle that goes out of that factory, and so he has a personal connection with that product, and he wants it to represent the best traditions of his family. This is something that's well understood by people who study family business, and something I think it's important to point out is that family business is a booming sector, booming phenomenon. The most recent study indicates that there are currently over 24 million family-run businesses in this country. That accounts for about half of the American workforce and about 69% of the gross domestic product. And I guess I would just say it's a pragmatic question. If nepotism is a bad thing and really does favor incompetence, then you would have to expect the American economy to look like Soviet Russia, a basket case. But the fact is that American economy is the envy of the world. It's a thriving engine of prosperity. And I think that alone tells you that there's something to be said for the positive aspects of nepotism.
Adam Bello is an editor-at-large for Doubleday. His book, In Praise of Nepotism, A Natural History, is published by Doubleday. He joined us from our New York bureau. Adam, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.